than murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. Well, the 2019 regular season is finally upon us. Preseason is over. Finally, games mean something. But really, is this going to feel like preseason week five? We're going to talk all about it. Joining me, as always, my buddy Josh. What's going on, man?
Brandon, we finally made it to the end of the preseason. I thought it would never come. We're here, week one, baby.
That's right, week one, and I gotta say, I mean, this preseason training camp, everything, I mean, knock on wood, cross my fingers, this has been a very quiet training camp in preseason. I mean, we've kind of been, used to the recently in Baltimore, getting bad news coming out of preseason and training camp, constantly with injury after injury after injury after injury. This one, relatively quiet. We lose Tavon Young, RG3 is out for the preseason. Looks like he's going to be able to back up Lamar Jackson come week one. But overall, I mean, what's your thoughts on what you saw in the preseason? This is the kind of preseason you want. You want it to be quiet. You don't want big things to come out of it. Pretty much just a regular run-of-the-mill preseason, which is kind of different for us.
Dude, absolutely. And focusing on the preseason as a whole, going back to your quiet comments, I'm in the middle because I agree with you there because it wasn't really flashy. But you know what? A quiet preseason is a good preseason, man, because you're right. Apart from covering those injuries, man, Tavon Young going down, a huge blow. Man, I was excited for this kid, and he'll be back better than ever. I truly believe that with my heart. And RG3, it was kind of blessing in disguise. He's not gone for the year, right? But how about Trace McSorley? Because another opportunity arisen for other players to take roster spots. And I feel like if RG3 was a healthy quarterback in this preseason, we're probably not talking about Trace McSorley making this team. If not, maybe he makes it in another role where he's a bubble player. So just think about that, man. Just the play of McSorley over the last 3 weeks and filling in for Lamar. And I feel like, you know, going into Lamar in the starting role, he's looked polished, and from what I've seen from the unquestioned starters, I'm very excited from what I see, man. And a quiet preseason is a good preseason for everybody, including us fans. You know, we can sigh of relief. We made it through. No more rehearsals. No more one or two or three series, and they're out. It's all hands on deck, and I know. For a lot of the newest Ravens that are on the squad, we've seen a flash of what they can do, right? You know, we've seen how effective Mark Ingram is probably going to be. We've seen the flashiness of our draft pick, Justice Hill. Miles Boykin making a big play or a few plays here or there. And in Hollywood, just catching everything in his debut. And now I'm excited for where this roster can go. But just heading into week one, I couldn't be more excited with the position of this roster right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And you did bring up some new names. I mean, I think a lot of fans are going to be doing what I'm doing, and that's kind of learning as they go to see who's going to really make an impact. It's hard to judge a lot of these rookie players just on preseason. I mean, I know everybody rags on preseason and talks about how terrible it is, but I enjoy the preseason games because it's young players who are hungry trying to make a name for themselves, and you want to see who it's going to be and who you can root for in the regular season, and that's kind of what you see here. One guy I do want to talk about that we're not going to be talking about anymore, though, is Kenneth Dixon. It looks like he is injured again, but John Harbaugh came out on Monday and said that he's going to be released. So he was on IR, and then he was going to be released. He's been with the organization for about 4 years. He's had suspension issues. He's had injury issues. He was a bubble player this year. It sounds like the only reason he's even on IR right now is because he suffered that injury in the last preseason game. It sounds like he wasn't going to be a part of this roster moving forward. What do you think?
No, I agree with you, man. I don't think he was in part of the running back plans. I've said all along it was going to be an Ingram, Edwards, and Hill show. Obviously, with Lamar having the ability to add a fourth runner, knee base Seth. And I feel like that, you know, he was playing for his roster life at that point in the preseason, or auditioning for another team that could essentially use the services. And whether he got cut or whether it was a trade, I really feel like his days on the roster are numbered. But it's an interesting move that the Ravens did because, you know, they put him on IR, so he's essentially still in the team. You know, they moved into that part. You know, I don't know if it's far as designated to return part, but he pretty much got shut down for the season. And at first, you know, I thought it was one of those phantom injuries, right? How many times you've seen that? Like, oh, they go on the IR with a crazy injury, and you're like, where'd that come from? But he truly, you know, had to be hurt at that point. And, you know, I don't even call it an injury, believe it or not. You know, I thought he was going to make a case for himself to be on another roster. I wish him the best. I'm not saying, you know, past tense here, but I pretty much have already made up my mind about preseason week two that this wasn't Kenneth Dixon. So especially as we drafted Justice Hill and how excited even Stephen Schottie talked to him in leading up to the preseason, how excited he was, and the Ravens spent that draft pick, got the fastest running back in the draft, and how effective he was in preseason. You bring in Mark Ingram. Mark Ingram's the unquestioned starter. We knew what Gus Edwards did last year. So it's a full house back there now. And, you know, and it takes the pressure off Lamar to run it. Now we have a viable running back system under Greg Roman's offense and the direction we want to go in, still being a run first heavy team. And I really feel like that, you know, it's bittersweet because I really rooted for this kid since he was on here, but on the squad. But, you know, it's tough sledding, man, when you have a full crop of running backs ready to go.
Right, and you did bring up a guy who is going to be the third QB on this team, Trace McSorley. He definitely made what the preseason was worth for him. I mean, absolutely came out of nowhere. He was a sixth-round pick. I didn't think he was going to do anything on this team, maybe make the team on special teams, but he really was able to show he's got a great arm, and I think – right now, what they're doing is, I think what they're doing is very smart, having these three QBs active right now, because we saw last year, Lamar Jackson, he got taken out for concussion protocol for two games last year, and we have RG3 come in and finish those games. And if you do have RG3 get hurt, or if something, you know, where Lamar can't come back and RG3 goes down, what were you going to do last year? You're going to have Sam Cook play quarterback. So now you have a guy, Trace McSorley. He's got a couple preseason games under his belt. He can learn from the quarterback coach. He can learn what it's like to be on this NFL team. And worst come to worst, I mean, this guy's, you know, already, you know, on the sidelines, ready to go in case anything were to happen. I think having him on this team on the 53-man roster, while it's very odd for this team to carry three quarterbacks, I think it's a good move.
Didn't we talk about this? I feel like this three quarterback thing keeps coming up every year, don't you think?
I mean, now that Lamar was involved, absolutely. There was a lot of talk. Before, I think it was the Joe show, and it didn't really matter who was his backup was. But now with Lamar and kind of – I mean, we saw Lamar last year for a couple games, but I kind of have to say he's still – a little bit of a question mark. We don't know what to expect from him. I think he's put in a lot of work this offseason. I'm not saying anything bad about him. I'm just saying we still don't know what to expect from him. And that's a good thing for us and a bad thing for the other teams we're up against.
That's my quarterback, man. Why are you dissing?
I'm not. I swear.
I know. I'm messing with you. No, I was trying to do my inner TO, but it didn't work out that way. That's my quarterback, man. Yeah, but I feel you. I mean, it's, when we say you don't know what to expect on that front, I kind of see where you're going with that, because it's he was under Joe Flacco's offense essentially, because it was plug and play at that point. Marty played it safe by calling a lot of runs.
Right.
They played to his strengths, and then he has to work on his mechanics. But I'm not kidding, man. I was at training camp, saw him in person. I was apart from you know the games that I was at when he was here as a starter last year when Joe got hurt. I actually got to relax and see in the preseason and really hone in on watching it. And I'm not kidding. It's a different thing. And you've been to games with me, man. But even going to a game with me or not, watching on TV, it's a way different environment when it's a regular season game than a preseason. Preseason, that's my goal. I'm watching everything. Mechanics, I'm watching people run routes. In the game, I'm in the game. You know, I'm watching the whole play develop. There's a different mindset when I'm watching a game live, regular versus pre or a scrimmage. But, you know, being at the training camp and all that, Lamar got bigger. Lamar is
– Oh, dude, he's like double the size if you see a side-by-side comparison. This dude has bulked up in this offseason.
Someone mentioned to me that his neck, you can even tell – someone said the girth of his neck and just sounded weird. I'm like, I ain't looking at his neck. But it's true. You know, the guy's put on pounds. And I saw him. He was probably 50 yards from me in live, you know, walking around. I'm like, and I can just tell. I met him last year, you know, so in his rookie year. I met him in training camp at the castle. And obviously, I had the picture with him. He was a skinny dude. And I didn't get that close to him this year. But he was literally 40, 50 yards in front of me, and I'm like, I can tell. I'm like, no, the kid's bulked. And just seeing his different, it's just a different demeanor, man. I can't explain it unless you were there sharing in that with me and seeing it, just watching him throw. And I can just look at highlights last year. It's a different mechanics. It's a different mindset. And you know what I think? It's the swagger. He knows it's his team. He knows it's a starter. He's way more relaxed. Last year was fun. You know, it was fun. It was thrusted in. And honestly, nobody in the right mind in Ravens Nation thought that at 4-5 when Joe got hurt and Lamar had to start over RG3 that there was no way we were going to make a playoff push, no way the Steelers would collapse, and it worked out. We got a division title and a home game, even though it was a loss. And that fuels Lamar. And everything I've seen, the growth of his interviews to the way what he's saying and the way he carries himself, dude, I was already all in. I'm always all in on this team before, but right now, I see where your head is saying, but I can see both sides, right? But it's because we just don't know. And when we say we don't know, there's so many uncertainty right on offense. We have two rookie receivers. We have a sneak coming back to Chris Moore, who's been a staple here for a few years. You know, we have a fresh crop of running backs to join Gus Edwards from last year. So there's a lot of new faces, even the coordinator. New coordinator, new schemes. The line's going to be shuffled, and we'll get to that in a little bit. But the line, you know, that there's a lot of different parts here that makes it unknown. But from what I've seen, the unknown is going to be pretty exciting, because it's not like they fell flat on their face and going, okay, well, Lamar's throwing interceptions and the line's not blocking. He's getting his bell rung and the running backs look rusty. I'm like, dude, every time the first team steps on the field in preseason, I'm like, they could play next week and I would feel confident they win by 10 points. Like, it's just, you know, I just feel it. I don't know why, but I feel it with this team. And, yeah, they're not going to go out and win every game and go undefeated. I mean, they still got to play the games, right? But, you know, but right now, the way it sets up, I'm excited for this team to really build upon what they have in the future and the quickness of the offense and the new additions they have on defense. But you know, staying on the offensive side of the ball, right, Brandon? Really want to ask you, man. Harbaugh's always been playing close to the chest, right? And he never really reveals starters or reveals game plans. And I like it. I love it. But as far as the left side of the line's always been a concern through all preseason with me. I'm always like, who's going to be that guy, right? And with Jermaine Illuminor pretty much playing himself out of the bottom or ultimately getting traded, now it's even more so a question where there's some names out here, and I want to see, you know, where you're leaning towards. You know, we have Brad Bozeman, we have Ben Powers, and we have Patrick McCarry, who are mentioned to perhaps maybe start at left guard for us. But look what we have here, right? We have Powers, who's a fourth round draft pick this year. It was Mogaba's first pick, as we recall it, special pick there. And then we have an undrafted rookie in Pat McCrary. And then we already know Bradley Bozeman from 2 years ago. So we have a very, very young and inexperienced crop right there at the left side who regards Lamar's blind side, per se. So what do you think there? You think that's a glaring weakness on this team?
I mean, I don't know if it's a weakness. I like the fact that there are some options here that the Ravens can kind of play with. We do have guys like Ben Powers. He started the final preseason game just a couple days ago, but he was flagged twice. So, I mean, there are, he's a rookie, and he's showing that. So that's going to be a little bit difficult to pick him as your number one guy.
Speaking of, I don't want to change gears, but I'm excited. Speaking of flagging, I noticed that I don't know if you can recall watching these preseason games. I mean, I watched most of these games, not all of them. I was at two of them. That I don't recall the team as a whole, but especially the starters, I didn't recall too many quote-unquote bad penalties. And I see that in air quotes. I mean, there were penalties, right? They didn't go, unchecked and perfect. But I didn't see no one of those boneheaded, pass interference calls. I didn't see them stupid unnecessary roughness calls. Now, the roughness calls usually happen more in the regular season because it's heated and all that. They're not trying to knock somebody's head off or in that regard in the regular season. But I didn't really see any of those bonehead calls where it's like, come on, guys, you're a little bit rusty, the stupid false starts or anything like that. Did you recall anything to that nature?
I mean, there
was just blaring, oh, my God, they can't be doing that.
Yeah, nothing glaring. I mean, there may have been a couple false starts, but it wasn't like Michael Orr level false starts. So,
or you're at home and it's like two out of three plays and you're like, really, get it together.
Yeah.
He's got the jumps, but and I get it. You're trying to get a jump on the line, competition. It's fierce. You got the line coming at you. I get it, but that's what makes me excited, right? So, but you're right, man. The line, that left side, man. I'm interested to see who starts on Sunday. I don't know if it's going to be one of those merry-go-rounds, right, where you rotate guys in and out. Maybe one guy gets start a few snaps in there if he's not doing well. Maybe Harbaugh changes it up. Maybe at halftime says, we're going to change it up because Lamar's running for his life. And that's going to be key because whether you want Lamar to run or not, whether like he said in his podcast being interviewed with the Ravens, he chooses not, he's not run first. And he's the first to tell you that whether fans want to believe it or not, Lamar said himself, he only wants to run when he has to.
Right.
Like if he sees the play breakdown, or again, you might have those wrinkled design options or runs where he does take off, and that's fine. But we don't want to see Lamar with the left side and having to run for his life all game and be playing street ball and rolling around. And it's going to create a long day at the office for the Ravens, man, especially against Miami on the road week one. You're not from the home crowd yet. You're on the road in enemy territory starting off. And it's a great test for Lamar, right? Because you get a taste of the environment. I know he played on the road last year. He played well in Arrowhead, which we go into week three. About near won that game. He should have won that game as a team. Fourth down, long fourth down play ended up saving the day. And that's all she wrote. But again, with that game, it was an MVP type play by the current reigning MVP of the NFL. So what do you expect? But besides the point, I really feel like it's going to be a good road test. Brandon, I feel like this is a great opportunity for Ravens, especially after the Dolphins just jettisoned one of their two remaining stars on offense, Kenny Stills, and who was obviously left over in compliment to Jarvis Landry, who left the team a couple years ago, and then Laramie Tunsil, and they got traded to Houston for a crop of draft picks and a few players. And I feel like this is the perfect opportunity for the Ravens offense to really capitalize. And I know these are offensive players as far as the Dolphins are concerned, but holistically, I'm really excited for this opportunity, and not only for the offense to shine and see what we are, but then the defense too, looking at their chops. That I know they got Fitzmagic over there, and he kind of worked his magic in week 22 and faded out into the sunset last year with the Buccaneers. But right now, what way better test than to get week one on the road? And Brandon, I don't know if you saw me sharing this, but you don't have to get me pumped up even more, but how special would it be to they did it a couple years ago and they didn't get a chance to play for the title, obviously, for the Super Bowl, but how special would it be they start the season in Miami and get a taste of it, and they can say we can be back here in February because the Super Bowl is in Miami in February. So how about if we could start and end it in Miami? How special would that be?
Yeah, if I can go to the Super Bowl in Miami, I mean, I'd be down for that, absolutely.
Well, I'm trying to save up my money. Like, I'm not trying to splurge too heavy this fall, but, bro, I've always said every year they make a run at it, I'm going for the third one. I didn't go to New Orleans, but they go for the next one, I'm there. I don't care if I have to sleep in the car, drive there, take buses, I don't care. I'm going. Me and you are going. But that's another. We have a lot of games to win and a lot of work to do. But it's just something great to talk about, right? It's exciting because, and I'm sure it's back in our minds, right? They're not probably talking about it. And if you ask them, if me and you had an opportunity to sit in a press conference and ask them themselves, they're probably going to sit there and give you coach speaking tonight. Like, okay, well, no, we're not definitely thinking about that. We're thinking about Dolphins. But you know, as professionals, it's been talked about. It's saying, hey, we had the opportunity to really get familiar with this facility because we can be back here. And it was like me when I went on the road in Minnesota, where that year ended up being the Eagles and the Patriots, which was a great Super Bowl. But it'd be a great opportunity to come back here for Super Bowl and get a second shot at it being in the stadium. And you know the Ravens aren't thinking about that. They're thinking about Miami, and obviously that's another conversation to be had. It's exciting to talk about. I don't want to get the road, you know, down the road of talking Super Bowls. I know it's the venue. I know it's the site. It's months away. The Ravens have a lot of work to do, right, man? They have a lot of wins to get under the belt. They have a lot of stuff to take care of. But let's just get back and reel it back in. I know, man, you got to keep me in check, dude. I get so wild.
You do get excited, and I got to say,
dude, week one, man, I'm excited. Yeah. I'm just excited. Finally here. I mean, we're talking week one, finally, right?
You know, you're excited. I got to say about Baltimore and everything going on this week, I'm a little bummed because I feel like the Ravens do a little bit more around town than they are this year. I mean, there used to be stenciling down at the stadium on Friday morning. They used to do a caravan of a bus. And, you know, we went a couple seasons ago when the whole thing ended at Jimmy's Seafood.
They're doing the Friday night party, which I'll be at Timonium.
Yeah, they're doing that. But like last year they had Third Eye Blind. This year they've got a couple cover bands, which, I mean, if that's what you're into, cool. And I'm sure they're good cover bands. I'm not one to judge, but no national acts. I mean, I feel as if the Ravens and I don't know what else is kind of toning down a little bit. I mean, last year I even went to the 7-Eleven by my work and there were cheerleaders and marching bands, and I'm trying to look at the Ravens playmaker schedules to see where they're going to be having happy hour, and nothing. There's what? Nothing. There's nothing this week going on.
I'm going to help you out there, bro.
There's just the party at the fairgrounds on Friday night, which does sound like a lot of fun, but that's it.
Nah, I find that hard to believe.
I want to stencil my car. I want to show some team spirit. And
Brandon, I'll show up and stencil your car. What do you want? You want a birdie? You want the shield? You want Lamar's face?
That shield would look pretty good. I will give you that. That would be nice.
Lamar's face?
So I do got
a Lamar's face. Come on. I knew you were going to break. But yeah, no, I feel you. I feel you. But I don't know why. I mean, you know, I don't know. It's just, I feel like there's, and maybe it's just the crowd. I keep not saying you don't, but it's just maybe, but you're right. You might be on something. Maybe this year, I don't know what it is. Maybe people aren't excited. I don't know. You know, it's a great thing to bring up because there's that buzz. You want that buzz back. You want them. Like the playoffs. Remember the playoff run and you went to eat Weddle's pancakes and stuff like that?
Yeah.
Like where's that stuff at, man?
That's all the stuff I dig, and it's nowhere to be found. So
no.
I brought it up kind of in the intro of the show, though. I said that this kind of felt like preseason week five because of all of these Miami trades that they have made. It seems as if they're kind of going through a rebuilding year. Is this a good thing for the Ravens to be going to Miami at this point? Because you do want them to be kind of challenged a little bit because it is the regular season. But, you know, the biggest thing coming out of these games is no injuries. Definitely not a loss. You don't want that to happen. I guess it's good to go to Miami at this point. It's still kind of warm down there. We'll talk a little bit about their weather coming up. But what do you think? Is this preseason week five, or are they going to go in thinking this is a regular season opener?
No, I think this is a regular season opener. I think if you really measure the pulse of this team right now, it's all business. And it's all business here and out. And from the coaching staff to the interviews I've heard this week, Lamar, Mark Ingram, they're ready. And I feel like, you know, that's where it's at. They're ready. I can see that itch on the sideline. Some of these starters, man, they want to get in. And if you ask them, like even Lamar said, you know, he wants to get in, get a couple of series in, and get out because he's ready for week one and no injuries. He don't want to get hurt. He knows it. He knows it's at stake. And I feel like, but you know what? I'm kind of glad at that. And, you know, I bring up this team just for an instance. But, again, you know, iron sharpens iron. I know, oh, you're going to talk about the Patriots. But Patriots are almost like that. They're quiet and about the way they do business. They're business-like. It's what they are. They're not that rowdy bunch. I mean, exception for, you know, the late Gronk, who just retired. He's a riot. But it's just the way they carry themselves. And, and I feel like that's probably what you're seeing. You're seeing the change, even though it is a fun bunch. I mean, you're talking about a fun bunch who on the sidelines, with Lamar trying to get Harbaugh to try a visor on backwards.
That's right, upside down and backwards.
Yeah, they're still a fun bunch, but I feel like And I heard that from some of the media who covered them this week. They said after that instance, they said the team and the coaching staff, there's camaraderie, they're loose, they're ready to go, and they're gelling. But even though we don't see it on the forefront, I feel you on the quiet front because it's not loud, and you know you're not getting the loud interviews, and you're not getting that. But that's what it is. I feel like now it's time to business, it's time to work, and there's a Super Bowl trophy to win at the end of the year, and I think that it's all business like, and they want to focus, and it's going to be starting to having fun when you win games, right? You know, they can joke around the sidelines, but what happens if they're 0-3 after 3 weeks? Then what?
Right.
No more. No more trying on visors on the sidelines. No more joking. No more that. And you know what? I hope he brings up a good point. Remember how fun it was with the Orioles when they had the pies in the face and you're all celebrating and all that? Like, you know, I get it. You know, you want to have fun with it, and not to say the Ravens don't. And you know, it's all business, but you know, and they're all sticklers. But you know, there's a mentality versus playing some exhibition games under the lights, getting through the motions. There's a difference of, you know, getting into it and going to the regular season. And you know, again, I urge you to maybe watch a few of the interviews this week and see the differences of regular season versus preseason interviews. You know, right now it's all swag, all business. And I feel like they're going down there with a mission, and the mission is to bring back a win to Baltimore coming home to face the Cardinals in week two. But you got to get past Miami, man. And I'm not going to say they're going to be easy. The Ravens are 7-point favorites, right? So that's good in itself. But that's Vegas showing that how, you know, lopsided it could be and all that. I feel like the Ravens are going to win by double-digit points, and we'll get to the predictions at the end here and really getting in on that. But I really feel like defensively, they can have the chance to do something special. They got Fitzmagic, who's obviously starting over Rosen. I prefer, if you ask any Ravens fan, 100 out of 100 should say they want Rosen under center against this defense. But what better way to really get after it? You know, Fitzpatrick's a journeyman. You know, he's not a slouch by any stretch of the means. You know, he's been in the NFL for, it seems like, eons. And he's been there. He's done that. He's faced the Ravens before. I think the last time the Ravens faced him, I want to call it the Bills, but I feel like they probably played him when he was on the Jets or some other team. I don't really know. But reaching back, but I know they definitely faced this team before, were a Fitzpatrick-led offense before in defense. I know it's not the same defense then. But I really feel like this will be a good way to really showcase what they can do. Because, again, you know, getting into setting the stage for the home opener next week, they have a rookie quarterback coming in. You know, I know the whole it's going to be talked about a lot next week. We have to get through Miami, right? But next week's going to be the talk of return of Suggs coming back. Mm-hmm. But the Cardinals is going to be weird. But, you know, but that's the stick of it, right? You know, the rookie quarterbacks at home, and how many times has it happened under the Harbaugh era or even in the Ravens' history? And so historically, the Ravens have come out on top of that. So I feel like this is a great week one battle. It's a great test on the road. Especially in Miami, it's going to be different, right? Because how many times later in the year when they're, you know, hovering around 500 or worse – is the stadium like what, half full? That you're getting a home opener in Miami, probably going to be a full house or close to a full house down there. And I know a lot of large Ravens contingents are based in Florida. A lot of people I know from up here are actually going to Florida, and everybody keeps asking me, even up until this point, am I going? And I'm not. It's going to be awesome to really see it all come together. And I really feel like I'm going to pick out two stars on defense and offense. And I feel like the newcomer, Earl Thomas, I feel like he's going to shine in that secondary as a unit's going to shine. So he's going to be the leader of that unit, anchoring you back there. I'm going to call Earl Thomas gets a week one pick. He gets an interception late in the game. I don't know if it'll seal it because I expect a Raven double-digit win. I feel like Earl Thomas will make an impact. And how about Matthew Jude out front? We were just today talking with my friends of mine, and how about recalling his three-peat against the Raiders last year, and the three sacks in a row to end that drive. And I feel like Matt Judon up front and Earl Thomas in the back are really going to hold this defense together and really put a strong showing out there. And I feel like a turnover. Now, I don't know if it's going to be a pick six or anything like that, but I feel like there's going to be a strong showing of this defense of flexing their muscles and seeing what they can do. And they've impressed me, man. Yeah, I know it's all different phases of the game, starters, third stringers, but and everybody in between. But as a unit, to put a shutout against another preseason squad in the first game as a total of this preseason and then really building upon that, they didn't really show – they've shown their weaknesses in the zone, and I really feel like they might clean that up a bit. The Packers exposed them in the zone coverages, but I feel like – I really feel like this is where they really let it fly. And even on offense, it's been said already. They haven't really shown what they can do. They haven't unloaded their packages. They really haven't been at full throttle. So when you unleash the hounds on them and let the dogs out of the crate and say, go at them, I really feel like they're going to get everything and then some on Sunday, man. I just have that feeling it's going to be one of those great, great opening Sundays as usual.
That's what we can hope for. And what we got to look at as well going on in Florida right now is the weather. Is there any chance that Hurricane Dorian is coming in to Miami? Is it going to mess with the Sunday game? Is there any chance it has to get moved? Have you heard anything about that?
Yeah. Personally, I've been monitoring closely just for, not personal game, but I do know friends and family that, friends of mine and their families and all that, they're down there and they're right on the cusp of that, if not impacted. So first and foremost, I do want to get it out there for anybody who's been impacted. My heart goes out to you all. This is a truly unprecedented thing. With any hurricane coming through, in the South, it's an unfortunate tragedy of Mother Nature, but I'm not going to put on my meteorologist hat in here, but dude, how crazy, I don't know if you've ever seen that before, but how crazy of a storm just being stationary like that, just staying put. And at a point, it was like moving 1 mile an hour and it's staying. That's what truly caused all the wreckage. And I know if it came right through and went, it's still catastrophic. I mean, a Category 5, but being it was so close to Miami, so close to the area, I actually know people who went down there were already down in the Miami, Florida area, and I've been talking to them all week. They're there getting ready for the game on Sunday, taking basically an extended vacation, and they got to prepare for a hurricane. I know people there are scheduled to leave this weekend, and with the flights being a little delayed till the storm passes, by Thursday, Friday, it should all be fine. But they wanted to go down, and they had to take a condensed week because of that. So, I know travel plans are one thing for people that are affected versus another, but I really want to stay out there. To all those who are affected, please stay safe. I hope you're all safe. My friends are down there in Pompano Beach, West Palm, Christina, Dan. I hope you guys are okay. It's just truly an unfortunate, unprecedented incident, man. And I was just praying all week that this thing would just push out the sea to the east and not affect anything. But lo and behold, that was a scary thing, because when I saw it coming to Florida and where the track was, I was like, was it going to affect the game? I mean, I'm not going right to football at that point, but I'm thinking like, well, what's that going to do with the Ravens? And I don't even think it was even asked by the media because of the track and everything, but it was a concern, and it is a concern for us, because it's like, dude, you have a major storm coming up the coast in this almost the same week that the Ravens travel down there. So you have to understand, like, would they move the game? Would they postpone it? It's so much how I remember how the Houston Texans had their first game and the hurricane wreck their plans, and they had to move the game to later in the year and all that. So I know it's happened in the NFL teams before, and it's unfortunate. And if it had to happen to the Ravens, I think they would handle it the best way they can. But, man, I just never seen something like that come through and just stay there one spot and just truly wreak havoc on the Bahamas or just, you know. And I shared a link on my personal Facebook and Twitter if anybody wants it. Brandon, I don't know if you saw it, but it was shared by my manager at work, Bahamas.com, for anybody who wants to donate. I just wanted to put that out there. Given the situations we're in, and at least wanted to, put my say on the whole Dorian situation. It's crazy. And, we can't escape these storms, but we can prepare the best we can as a whole. And let's keep everything to a minimum. And then, my thoughts and prayers got to everybody affected, and it will be affected. It's truly a scary thing.
Yeah, I mean, this is an absolutely massive storm. Like you said, I mean, it just wreaked havoc on the Bahamas. And
oh, yeah.
Just like you said, it was stationary, and then it was moving a mile an hour. I mean, absolutely insane storm. And it doesn't look like it's going to hit the U.S. It looks like it will turn, but obviously the meteorologists from around the country, as well as the NFL, will be keeping an eye on this storm to see what it does. Because again, I mean, this is Mother Nature. It's unpredictable. Anything can happen. But we'll see what happens in Miami. But hopefully, there isn't a bye week in the first week of the season, and hopefully they can get this game off. So, Josh, let's go through some predictions here. Let's go through it. I'm predicting a Ravens win. I think you are too. What's going to be your score?
Am I? Don't put words in my mouth.
I'm pretty sure.
Uh-huh. Wait, you see my notes? Yeah, you're looking over my shoulder. I'm definitely predicting a Ravens win. It's no secret. I'm not saying soundly. I feel like it's going to be a 13-point victory. They're going to almost double the spread. I'm going to call a 23-10 victory. Not putting points out there. I feel like they're going to probably put a little bit more points on the board, but I'm going to go conservative just because there's a lot of uncertainty, right? It's week one. Until you really get to see what this team's truly about in the attack and the approach, but every week's different, right? You know, they're going to attack the Dolphins differently. They're going to attack the Cardinals and every opponent thereafter, home or away. But I really feel like the Ravens are really going to hone in on the things they do well. I'm excited to see the passing game come to life and these rookies shine for us and come out with a solid debut. And, what's going to really be awesome if they come out with a solid debut all around, that means they're going to set the bar high. So we'll see how they do, man. But I'm, again, putting my prediction out there, book it, 23-10 Ravens week one victory.
All right. I like to hear that. So, Josh, have we covered everything for this Purple Friday preview?
We covered everything. Quoth the Raven, nevermore. Week one, it's nice to see you.
All right, if you guys want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
They can always tweet to me at ItalianGQ52.
All right, make sure you go over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. Plus, Josh is going live on Facebook with some fantasy football stuff later on in the week. You'll also be able to find anything we find interesting about the Ravens or about football. We'll be sharing there as well. So make sure you follow us over on facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Now we do the show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Vero and Twitch, anywhere you are social on the web or with your phone. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to The Call, and you should too. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, man, thank you so much. Dude, it's good to be back, my friend.
It is. It's very good to be back.
We love podcasting. I certainly miss it. And I just can't believe it sitting here talking. It's week one, bro. Week one. And we're really going to bring it home. And I really feel like the Ravens have the opportunity, as we talked in the podcast, to really do something special this year. It all starts in Miami, and what better way? Do it on the road, you know, where you're in enemy territory, and where this offense can really come together and shine and show us what they really have the full potential to be this year. And not really letting it out of the bag all in week one, but grow. And I really feel like this team can really do some great things in 2019 and really building upon a division title as they did a year ago. I know it's a different team, different squad, but the same rules apply. It's the same football. Got to line up and some of the same opponents, some of the new opponents. And we got to start in Miami. And I really feel like it's going to be a good war, a great battle for the Ravens to really hone in on and build into that week one victory and carry it over to the home opener. But before we get home, let's take it to Miami. Let's take it to the Fins. Brandon, you with me? Baltimore Ravens, let's fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.